So good evening, everyone. Good evening. It's great to have you with us tonight. If you're here every week, it's great to see you. If this is your first time here with us tonight, then a special welcome to you as well. My name's David, David Gooding. I'm the youth pastor here at Stirling Baptist Church. And I just want to welcome you all here, and it's great to have you. Now, some of us have been at church all our lives. Some of people have been here longer than others. Some people are just new to church. But I think no matter how long you're in church for, sometimes Christians are a bit confusing or a bit weird. They do things that are a bit funny. And I say that as a Christian, and I love being a Christian, but actually sometimes they do things that are a little bit strange. So let me give you some examples. The first would be that it comes to Easter time, okay? And we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, and that's great to do. It's the most significant thing that's happened, in our opinion, in history. So how do we celebrate this wonderful occasion? Some people, not me personally, but some people, they hard-boil eggs. And then they get the eggs, and then they decorate them. Hands up if you do this, if you've ever done this. A couple of people. Oh, many of you. I don't mean to get at you now, but once they've decorated these eggs, sometimes they go to the top of a hill and they roll the egg down the hill. I understand this. I understand that it's something to do with Easter and it's about the rock, the stone rolling away and all of that. But you've got to admit that from the outside looking in, it's a strange way to spend your time. And it's quite a strange, I'm not saying it's bad, it's just a strange tradition. And that's without even mentioning the Easter Bunny or where that's come from. I've got no idea. The second example that sprung to mind pretty quick was that the fact that we come to Christmas, lots of traditions about Christmas. We're celebrating Jesus coming into the world and being born in Bethlehem, and it's great to celebrate that. I'm not down on Christmas. But at some point, someone decided, you know how trees, and that they normally are outside. To celebrate Christmas, why don't we bring a tree into our living room and wait for it? Then we're going to decorate the tree. And that will be how we'll celebrate Christmas. And it's got to the point now where if someone questions whether or not we should bother having a tree, they're the ones that are weird. They're the one, they go, oh, David, you've got to have a tree or else it's just weird not to have a tree in your living room. But actually, in every single country that you have Christians, there are different traditions, different things that Christians do that you look at and think, this is a little bit odd. And sometimes in the Bible and sometimes they're not. But everywhere that you find Christians, you'll find this, these different traditions. And lots of people that aren't Christians would look at baptism and the baptisms that are going to happen tonight and think, actually, this is a little bit strange. This is something I don't really understand. We're in this church. There's a hot tub at the front of the church. And people are singing and there's music. And are we going to some kind of party? What is going on? And they think, actually, this is just another weird, meaningless Christian tradition. But unlike these other examples, to view baptism this way would be a huge shame. It would be to completely miss the point of what is happening tonight and what baptism is all about. It'd be disregarding something which actually is incredibly meaningful, is incredibly powerful and incredibly important in the lives of Christians. It's something that's practiced by Christians in every corner of the planet, and it's something that's been practiced since Jesus instructed us to be baptized, and it's something that is talked about all the way through the Bible, all the way through the New Testament. We have these examples of people being baptized. We're going to look at one passage that looks at baptism. It's from Romans chapter 6. I'm reading from the Message translation tonight. I just thought I'd put this a very interesting way. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 6. It says this. This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we were lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so that we can see where we're going in our new country of grace. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way: sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run a little errands that are connected with that way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Amen. And that this idea of baptism being something so important and being something so so strongly held and so widely held, it puts baptism and communion really in a league of their own, and something quite apart from all the other traditions that Christians do that are kind of strange. And it actually says baptism is something really important. Baptism is what we call a sacrament. It's got this fancy word, sacrament, and it comes from this Latin word, which is on the screen, that says sacramentum. And the early church took this word, sacramentum, which is the word that was used to describe the oath of allegiance, which a Roman soldier would take on enlisting into the Roman army. And he would go to this ceremony, and the recruit would solemnly vow that he was giving up his old way of life. He was giving up that civilian status that he once had. And from then on, he would live a new life, a different life. He would swear that in this new life, he wasn't in charge anymore, but he would swear that actually he was coming under the leadership of Caesar. That whatever Caesar asked him to do and wherever Caesar asked him to go, he would listen and he would follow. And the early church really took that. They really saw that and they thought, yes, this is what we're wanting to get across. This is what we're trying to say through baptism. When we're being baptized, we're publicly saying, my old life is over, with all its mistakes and all its problems and all the stuff that comes along with it. That is getting put to the side. It is dead and buried. And now I'm living this new life, a life in which I'm under the leadership of God. A God who loves me, a God who wants the best for me and has a plan for my life. A life which it's not me that's in charge, but it's Jesus Christ who is Lord and Jesus Christ who is in charge. So through baptism, we're really responding to what Jesus has said to us already. He said that he will never leave us or forsake us. He said that when life becomes too tough and too difficult, we can cast our burdens onto him. And he said that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And that's been true in my life, and that's been true of so many of the people in this room, that actually Jesus has been there for us and he's been faithful to us, and we can rely on him. And so through being faithful in baptism, we're really responding in a small way to the faithfulness of Jesus. And through baptism, we're responding to what Jesus has done for us. We're responding to the fact that before they were even born, Jesus saw Jen and Eleanor and Olivia and Lynn, and he loved them and he knew them. And he loved them so much that he proved that there was nothing he wouldn't give or sacrifice to be in a relationship with them and to bring them into a relationship with the Father. And so he came and he sacrificed everything to be able to get rid of what separated him from us and to bring them into new life, a life of purpose and fulfillment and wholeness. So baptism really symbolizes that, that sacrifice, and really talks about our old selves dying and our new selves living. When we go under the water, symbolizing this dying and burying of our past lives and all its mistakes and our brokenness being washed away and Jesus taking the punishment in our place. But then when we're brought back up out of the water, just as Jesus rose again to new life, we can rise to a new life in him, a life of meaning and challenge and wholeness. Baptism doesn't make someone a Christian, but it is a symbol of the faith that they already have. When my wife and I got married, again, there were lots of strange traditions that go along with getting married. I don't really understand why you have to do them, but all of a sudden, us cutting a cake was big news. And people took photos, and all of a sudden, I'm not much of a dancer, but all of a sudden we're just swaying back, and people are taking photos, and it's all of a sudden a thing. But what was important when we got married, and what was important to us, was the fact when we came together and we made these vows in front of many witnesses, just like in this baptism is happening in front of many people, and we exchanged wedding rings as well. And you say things like, with this ring I thee wed, and all of that. Now, a couple of years ago, I actually lost my wedding ring. And I got into big trouble for that, but I didn't mean it. And I searched everywhere to find it, but I never found it. But that doesn't mean, me losing my wedding ring didn't mean that all of a sudden we weren't married anymore, or it was all off. Because we lost the ring. We weren't married because of the ring. But the wedding ring is a symbol which represents the fact that a relationship exists. And so you look at someone with a wedding ring and you know that person has got a relationship that's important to them and is worthwhile to them and is worth celebrating to them. And it's the same with baptism. Through baptism, you can look at someone and they're saying, I have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And these four people are showing us that they have a relationship with Jesus, that they belong to Jesus, that they love Jesus. And in just the same way as when a married couple stand and they say together, they say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness, in sickness and in health, no matter what comes in the years ahead, we're making this commitment. And it's the same with baptism of actually standing up and saying, I'm in this relationship and it's something that I'm committed to and that it's important to me. And I want to celebrate it with my friends and my family. And so that's what brings us here tonight. And my prayer really for these four girls that are being baptized is that actually tonight will be a really blessed night, and tonight will be not the end of a chapter, it will be the start of a great relationship in which they can depend on God and listen to God and trust God to get them through whatever life throws at them. And so we're just thrilled to be here tonight, and we just want to bless them. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll move on with the service. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to come together and to celebrate what you're doing in these four lives. Thank you for the testimony that they've shared, Lord, and how you've been so faithful and how you've been so at work in their lives, Lord. And we just pray for more of that. And we pray that as they are baptized tonight and as they move on in these few weeks and months and years that lie ahead, Lord, that they'll move on with you and they'll continue to deepen their relationship with you and to love you more and more, Father. I just pray you bless them tonight and be with them, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.